Sometimes I think when we, if we would be able to see the spiritual picture of the church, we'll probably be horrified because of people that just separate themselves from where God put them. And then they say, well, the body is not functioning. Well, where are you? That's not you, of course. I'm talking to the ones that are not here. And it doesn't matter what you do and who you are and what you like and what your talents are. You're part of the body and you ought to be there, and your uniqueness enriches the body. Don't feel odd. If you think I'm a little odd, I'm not like the rest of the people, well, that God thought to put you here. Because you got something unique to contribute.
That's right.
Verse 21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. So if you say to yourself, well, you know, I don't do anything because I'm a weak person, well, the Bible says you're necessary. Mm-hmm. You're necessary. There are members or limbs or organs or parts of your body that may be weak, but how can you do without them? Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division in the body. And the Apostle Paul uses that word composed, which is a musical term, where you put a whole bunch of notes together to mean something, to flow together to mean something. You know, and if I have to put some music notes together, it won't sound like anything, because I'm not a composer. But God is. And He knows. He knows what everybody has to contribute, because He put it in you. And then He brings us all together and says, I want to make this music with this body. I want to use all these talents and all these gifts and all these, as the Spirit works uniquely through every one of us, so that you can do something that I want you to do. So every part is necessary. And there's no such thing as members that are honored and others that are dishonored, because we're one body. Verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. So we have to understand that this is not our body. This is the body of Christ. And because it's the body of Christ, and there's honor. And boy, do we need to honor the church. Do we need to honor the church and see it not just as a group of people or a religious club or what. It's the body of Christ. And I believe if we recognize and treat the church as the body of Christ, and our membership of it, if you will, as God's will, then God can honor the body. But we cannot look down on the church and say, well, this church is like this or like that, whatever. We need to understand that the church is the body of Christ. And we're part of that. And that's an honor. That is a great honor for us to be. And that's why whatever we do it as unto the Lord. And if one member is honored, we all rejoice with it, because we're all honored. We all have reason to rejoice. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles. Now we're talking about ministries. We're going to talk about ministries this morning. First apostles. What is an apostle? The word apostle means a sent one. Someone that's sent. Missionaries are apostles. Because they sent out to do, to reach people. Especially in the context when the New Testament was written, in places where the gospel was not known. Send them into the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul, and he even said, I don't go to places where the foundation has already been laid, so that I built on someone else's foundation. Now I go to where the gospel was never preached. He was a missionary. He took the gospel there. But what they do is, they preach the gospel, people get saved, and they lay the foundation of their faith. This is what the church is all about. This is how the church operates. These are the truths of the church. And they lay that foundation. And then they move on because they sent ones. They're not the ones that stay. They sent ones. They keep on going because that's the call. That's the call. They keep on going. So, first apostles, second prophets. Second prophets. Now, these are weighty titles today, apostles and prophets. Usually, just through many years of experience and being in the church, usually if someone introduces himself as I'm apostle so-and-so or I'm prophet so-and-so, I have red flags just all over me. Because I believe a tree is known by its fruit, not by its leaves. The leaves are the titles, but the fruit is the labor, right? And you want to see. And we learned a lesson. I've told that story here years ago when I planted an apple tree in a pot, a pit, a seed in a pot. In our house in Belgium, and a little while later, the little tree came up. And we were very happy to see the apple tree coming up. And it was about maybe 9 inches high or so, a little bit, when we moved to Canada. And I was a little, I don't want to just throw the thing away. I gave it to friends of ours in Belgium. They planted the tree in the backyard. And every year they told me, it's growing, it's growing, it's pretty tall by now. 1 year, they said, well, there's fruit on the tree, but it's cherries, not apples. He believed it was an apple tree, because the leaves look very much like apple tree leaves. And we all believed it was an apple tree, but it wasn't. Something went wrong. Where I put the apple seed, there also was a cherry seed in there. And the cherry tree came up, not the apple tree. So a tree is known by its fruit. And we need to know what kind of a tree we're dealing with so that we will understand what we are dealing with, right? Yeah. But you see it by the fruit. I believe an apostle is, because of the nature of their work, they're super pastors, they're super evangelists, they're super teachers. They're just a cut above. And the fruit also is a cut above. Because of the many talents. You look at the Apostle Paul. Look at what the man produced. Look at what he produced. That even today, after all these years, centuries, 2,000 years, we still try to understand the teachings and the writings of the Apostle Paul. It still feeds the church today. The revelation that the man brought still feeds the church today around the world. Then you have prophets. Now, many prophets today are non-profit. They just have a nice-looking business card. Are there still apostles today? Yes, they are. Are there still prophets? There are still prophets today. And prophets are like apostles, like foundation layers. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Keep your place. So we're coming back to 1 Corinthians, Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 19. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. What a beautiful title for the church. We're members of the household of God. Now watch. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, it's not their person, it's their teaching. It's their ministry. They laid a foundation of faith. This is what Jesus came to do. This is what he did for us on the cross. This is what happened when he was resurrected from the dead. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He'll be coming back one day. These are truths of the church. This is how we believe. And they lay that foundation of salvation from dead works. The role of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. Things like that. They lay that foundation. So when they leave a church that's founded on truth so it can function well and do its work. So it says here, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. So the apostle or the prophet cannot draw attention to themselves. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the one. He's the one that's the cornerstone. He's the one that is that rock that if the church is built on that rock, the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, that church will never be shaken. That's the rock that cannot be shaken. But you build a church on this apostle or that apostle, well, that's a person, and everybody is fallible. Mm-hmm. That's why we don't call our church the first so-and-so church of the Apostle James, Saint James, or Saint this, or Saint. We're all saints. The Bible calls all of us saints. Verse 21, in whom the whole building, now that what Paul in Corinthians calls the a body is equals here a building. In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Prophets are also foundation layers, but their unique gift is first of all to bring revelation from Scripture. Because the foundation layers, right? It's a foundation layer. Revelation from Scripture. It's amazing to sit under the teachings of a true prophet and just find who they just open the Scriptures. Suddenly things that are a little hard to understand become simple. Because of that gift that's operating through them. Remember, these are ministries of the Holy Spirit. These are not natural talents of carnal men. This is the Holy Spirit working through somebody. And he brings that revelation, opens the Scriptures, and we begin to understand deep things that we cannot understand just on our own, with our own carnal insight. These are men that have this gift operating through them. It's a gift, the ministry of the prophet. Now, let me just, because when we talk about prophets, we need to say some things because of what's going on in the world today. Prophets are not Christian fortune tellers. They, first of all, foundation layers. They're not fortune tellers. You hear somebody's going to prophesy, and this prophet or that prophet is coming. You better check that out first. Because you have to be very careful, because some people that are disconnected from the body operate in familiar spirits. And people say, well, did you hear that? He's talking about some things that I don't think he knew about me. Be careful, because first of all, there's the foundation, there's the revelation that comes out of the Word of God that establishes people in their faith. Now, sometimes they will, because Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll tell you things to come. And some of that will operate through the prophetic ministry. But that can come through anybody who's filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's not a man's gift. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It happened in the days of Paul, where a prophet named Agabus spoke, and he first said, there's going to be a great famine here. And everybody responded to that. They all stored up food, and when the famine came, they were all taken care of. The prophet spoke. But he was a man, you know, first of all, he should be known as someone who brings revelation from the Word of God. Because now we understand that we're dealing with a prophet here. And we can rely on things that he says. But if it's mainly talking about who's going to marry who, how many children, you'll have so many children, you're going to do this, that's fortune telling. And I'm a little hesitant to put much faith in that. And I'll tell you why. Because the pastors always have to pick up the pieces after they left. And this pastor had to pick up some pieces, even in this church. And they don't get an invite from us, those types. Because we don't want to pick up the pieces afterward, because sometimes people don't want the pieces to be picked up. They're angry. They're angry because certain things are prophesied and there's a date on it, a due date. And then when that date comes, nothing happened, then they're angry. They're angry. Now they turn their backs on God. No wonder the Apostle Paul in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians says that the prophets, all prophecies must be judged. Somebody that's mature in the things of God should judge the prophecy. Don't go to your friend and let's have coffee at Tim Hortons and let's talk about this prophecy I got. Everybody's going to be inside. I have people come to me and say, well, I had a prophecy. God says, I'm going to be blessed. I said, well, you don't need a prophet to tell you that. Just read your Bible. Just read your Bible. It's in the Bible. And so the reason why Christians must be established in the truth, by studying the Word of God, is so we will not be misled. Now, people make mistakes. Apostles make mistakes. Prophets make mistakes. Everybody makes a mistake. But you don't want to bear the fruit of someone else's mistake. Because someone else, maybe very sincerely so, made a mistake. And you put your faith into it, you begin to act on it, then you'll pay the price for it. And so that's why the Apostle Paul says, all prophecies must be judged. Bring it to somebody that's mature. Let's talk about it. Let's pray about this thing. We had somebody prophesy over us before we went out into ministry, prophesied and said that we will go to Hungary and start a ministry there. Well, to this day, I've never been in Hungary. But when that came out, I believe, well, that I think that's a mistake. Was he sincere? He surely was. Interestingly enough, some of the things that the man said actually did happen. But not all of it. And that's why discernment is so important for us. That we will know what comes from God and what doesn't come from God. Not everybody that says, thus says the Lord, speaks on behalf of the Lord. And sometimes it's not with bad intentions. It is maybe out of zeal and out of a desire to be a blessing. But if it doesn't come from God, with all good intentions, then it doesn't come from God. Come on now.
Yes, amen.
When the disciples asked Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming? The first thing Jesus said, don't be deceived. There'll be a lot of deception in the last days. Don't be deceived. How will you not be deceived? Well, if you know the truth, you cannot be deceived. If you know the truth, you're safe. You're safe. You know the truth. Prophets, we're back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Then he says, thirdly, teachers. Teachers. God gave teachers. There are teachers in the body of Christ. And we need teachers. Because teachers will point to things that we probably never would even think about. Teachers will talk about things that are in Scripture. And let me tell you something while we're at it. When you listen to any teaching, you have to go back to your own Bible and see if it is so. Don't just accept anything that comes from a pulpit or from a Christian book or through Christian TV or radio. You have the personal responsibility to check things out for yourself. And the fact that a man is eloquent means nothing. Don't be so in awe of somebody that speaks with great eloquence. And the truth is not in the eloquence. The truth is in what's being said. And the fact that he speaks with great eloquence doesn't mean he's speaking the truth at all. The Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And he says, one of my problems in ministry is I don't speak eloquently. I have a problem expressing myself. And look what he gave us. Moses, he couldn't speak. He was called a prophet too, you know that. And he couldn't even speak. Aaron had to speak. He spoke to Aaron and Aaron spoke to the people because he stuttered. So eloquence, has nothing to do with truth. It's nice to listen to somebody that speaks eloquently and beautifully. And it's really something very beautiful to listen to. But let's not be moved by the eloquence. Let's pay attention to the truth. And go to the Bible and see if what was said is in fact so. Teachers. After that, miracles. I would think that would be evangelists. Then gifts of healings. Once again, the only one that comes in the plural. Gifts of healings. Helps. Helps. Do you know that if you help clean the church, that you're in helps? And if you're in helps, you are as important as the one that stands behind the pulpit. Because you make the body function. And without your function, we'll be lacking effectivity. Everybody's needed. Mm-hmm. And everybody's honored. And we all rejoice together. Administrations. Now, I believe when you talk about administrations, probably referring to the pastoral ministry, because the pastor, of all these ministerial gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, and teacher, they are all itinerant ministries. They move around. The pastor is the only one that stays, administers the church. Administrations. And under that falls everything that's part of administration. From the accounting, to the typing, to the Sunday bulletin, to whatever. Administration. I always say, just coming from a banking background, any business is as good as its administration. You can have the best gifts, the best salesman, the best whatever. If the administration is not good, that business will fail. And so we need in the church, we need good administration in the church. We need good administration to see that things run well and helps participate in administration. That's part of helps too. It all falls under this category of administration. Varieties of tongues. Now we begin to talk about vocal gifts. And we will go into that in greater detail. Just focus on that one day, maybe next time. But the vocal gifts are prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, some people will be used in that kind of a ministry, talking to the church through tongues and interpretation. And we'll have to make special time to talk about that. But there is a place where that will become like someone's ministry. That's the way God uses that person. Varieties of tongues. Verse 29, are all apostles? No. We're not all apostles. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. We're not all teachers. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healings? No. Not everybody will be called to be, let's say, like a healing evangelist. But if you, as a believer, lay hands on the sick, can that person be healed?
Yes.
Yes, because Jesus said so. But remember, this chapter deals with ministries. This chapter deals with ministries. Ministries of the Holy Spirit. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Well, that's not everybody's ministry. But does everybody speak in tongues? Everybody can. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can speak in tongues. And we'll talk about that next week. But that's not everybody's ministry. There's a difference between your prayer language and speaking to the church. Does everybody speak to the church in tongues with interpretation? No. No, but some will. Does everybody prophesy in church? No. No. But when you're dealing with somebody that God wants to edify or God wants to minister to, can a prophetic word be released through you? Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. But that may not be your ministry. But remember, the gifts don't belong to you. They belong to the Holy Spirit. And He can use any gift that is right for the moment, that is needed for the moment. He can use any gift. He distributes the gifts we just read there in last week as He wills. Do all interpret? No. Verse 31. But earnestly desire the best gifts. What is the best gift? The one that you need right now. That, I say, would be the best gift. Desire the best gift, which means don't stick to one and say, well, this is how God uses me, and now we have a problem here, and we need that gift, and now we can't help that person. No, the Holy Spirit can come with anything. The best gift is the one that we need for the moment. And it says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And then it begins with chapter 13, which is what we know as the love chapter. The love chapter. Now, I believe when we talk, when you next week we'll talk about from chapter 14, because chapter 12 talks about it. It gives us the understanding of the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts, the ministries, and the activities. And then he lists, starting off in the chapter, he lists the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then he moves on to the ministries. Then he goes to chapter 13, talking about love. And from there he goes to chapter 14, where he talks about how the gifts operate in the local church. He says everything must be done decently and in order. And this is how you do it. We'll do that next week. But what ties all of these teachings together is love. And if it's not brought in love, then you have to be a little concerned about that, at least. Have to be a little concerned, because it's moved by love. What's moved by love? The gifts of the Spirit, the ministries of the Spirit, and the activities of the Spirit. It's all through love. It's released through love. Love ties it all together. And without love, Paul says, even if you prophesy and speak in tongues, and if it's not in love, you're just a clanging cymbal, an annoying noise. It's empty. There's no substance there. There's no truth there. As a matter of fact, there may be a lot of self-exaltation in it. That's why he says, you know, but without love, it's an annoying sound. The gifts, the ministries, and the activities of the Holy Spirit need two things to operate well: love and faith. You have to have both, love and faith. Because I believe God wants to use every one of us. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, He wants to use you for any of the nine gifts. And maybe some activities of the Holy Spirit and some ministry of the Holy Spirit. But if you don't have faith, it's going to stay right inside of you. It's not coming out. Because faith will propel it. Faith will give it wings. Faith will give motion to it. Faith will make it happen. But without faith, it's just going to be dormant and eventually dry up. They all suddenly, when you're dealing with somebody and God's giving you, let's say, a word of knowledge, and you think, oh my, God's showing me something here. Is it God or is it me? I'd rather not say anything, because I know doubt sets in and the person is not helped because of your unbelief. So love and faith are the two things that are necessary for the gifts to operate. Now, I'm not going to read chapter 13, but chapter 13 was not meant really to be read only at weddings. Well, it would be good if that's in wedding and in marriages. That'll be great. But that's not why it was given. It should be in marriages, let me put it this way. It should be there, but that's not the only reason for it. It's really given to operate in the local church. Chapter 13, the love chapter, needs to operate in the local church. If this chapter manifests, let me tell you something, everything else will manifest. Everything. This is the seed bed. Boy, I tell you, this is where it grows out of. When that love is there for one another. When that love is there for people that need our care and our attention and compassion. When that is present, then the gifts will come in operation. How many times do we read, Jesus had compassion? He's a compassionate God. Our Father is a compassionate God. And because He is compassionate, He releases these gifts through His people so that people in need can be helped. And no, God speaking through this person. It's God. It must be God. Everyone in the church is a minister. Everyone is a minister. When people ask you, well, who's your minister? Then you say, well, what do you mean? We're all ministers. We're all ministers. The word minister simply means a servant. We're all servants. I serve this way, and we have this in, you know, all kinds of people that serve in the local. We're all servants. We're all ministers. Don't let this religious idea come into your head where you think there's only one minister and that's the pastor. He's one of the members of the body, but he's not the body. Mm-hmm. We all make up the body. And we all minister to the body and out of the body. We're all members of the same body. We were all baptized into the same body. It's one thing. It's one thing. And God wants to raise up these activities and these gifts and these activities of the Holy Spirit to make the body effective. Are we going to be an effective body?
Yes.
You have to stir up your faith. Because God needs your faith to release it. To release that gift. He puts it inside of you. He puts it inside of you. He wants to speak through you. He wants to touch through you. He wants to love through you. He wants to show his goodness through you. He wants to help through you. It all comes from the body. And we all have the same spirit. And the same Spirit equips every one of us to be active in the body. And let's choose this year to make this an active body. Amen. Just be active in the things of God. Just look into this. Go home and read this chapter. Chapter 12. Read it a few times. Read it from different translations. And where you feel there's a stirring on the inside, you know, well, that's where he's stirring me here. I need to look into this a little more. I'm going to grow my faith in this area. It says, desire the best gifts. We'll see next week that gifts come through desire. They'll operate, but there's desire needed for it. If you don't desire to be used by God, then He will not use you. You have to desire. Before I leave you with questions, let's quickly go to chapter 14. And I'll just read verse 1. Pursue love. So that's what you need to be after. You pursue love. Go after it. And desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, that speaking edification. So, pursue love. That's what we need to do. That's what we're. Don't pursue gifts. Pursue love. And desire spiritual gifts. You go after love, but you desire spiritual gifts. And especially that you may prophesy because of the edification that comes through it. We're one body with many members, and we were all baptized into this body to function here. Whatever function God pleased to use you for. But there's a function. Everyone has a function. Everyone has a function. And I sometimes look at us, and I thank God for those of us that understand our function. There's something that God has put inside of you that the body needs. And without it, we're poor and weak. But if you bring that gift, you bring that activity, you bring that ministry, we all win. We all win. Boy, it's the same Spirit of God. Anything can happen.